Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is New York State Senator and Democratic Conference Leader Andrea Stewart Cousins. Senator Stewart Cousins was elected by her colleagues to serve as leader of the Senate Democratic Conference, becoming the first female leader of a legislative conference in New York State history. She was first elected to the State Senate in 2006 and currently represents Greenberg, part of White Plains, part of New Rochelle, part of Yonkers, and Scarsdale. Welcome, Senator.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's always good to talk to you, Alan.
Well, it's always great. You know, my father had a business in New Rochelle, so I always feel partially. It was the Foam Rubber Center. It used to be on North Avenue, then they moved it to Main Street, and then he was out of there. So it was only a short time, but I loved hanging around New Rochelle.
Yeah, New Rochelle is a great place. It really is. I said, in fact, I really do have a fabulous district.
Yeah, you do.
I mean,
you do.
I've got, as you mentioned it, Yonkers, White Plains, and Scarsdale, and Greenberg, New Rochelle. They're all different. They're all very, very vital and a lot of civic-minded people. And obviously, you know, again, different issues, but just an incredibly diverse district. I think any pilot program that could happen in New York could happen in my district because of the range of everything, the demographic range, the socioeconomic range. You know, it's just one of those amazing districts. I'm very, very happy to represent them all.
Well, Senator, let me start by saying that this week your conference put a Clean Up Albany legislative package together and put it out there. Sounds suspiciously like the governor's, and it has a whole bunch of stuff in it, like restrict legislators' outside income, closing the LLC loophole with Senator Squadron, requiring additional financial disclosure, and prohibiting the taxpayer reimbursement of campaign and legal defense fund accounts for legal fees in criminal cases. So what motivated you to do it?
Okay, well, thank you, Alan, because I know what a great advocate you've been for ethics reform in Albany. And I think the motivation is pretty clear. And just, again, for your listeners, this is the third year. So since I've been leader, I have, you know, been really pushing, as has been my conference, pushing for ethics reform because, you know, at some point, arrest after arrest, questionable relationships after questionable relationships. I mean, at some point, we have to begin to not only police ourselves, but create a more transparent and a more accessible view of what happens with campaign funds, how we're using them, and also assure the people that we are there to serve them and that we don't have multiple interests and multiple quote-unquote masters that really take us off of the task. So motivated by the fact that I believe New Yorkers deserve to have accountable, transparent, and public servants, you know, reporting to them and serving them. And I believe that the appetite obviously has grown as the attention has come onto the Capitol and seeing more and more of, you know, these various people in various stages and places being arrested and convicted. So, I mean, I want to also, and I know you know this, I want to make sure that people know that 99% of the people who come there are honest people, they're good people, they really are there to work for the people. And, you know, that's why if we just do the ethics reforms that we should do, I think we would just be able to do our jobs a lot easier.
Well, now you're the leader. Do you ever shake your finger at your conference and say, come on now, people, don't do anything stupid?
You know, my conference is just, you know, my conference, I think, exemplifies the leadership that I just spoke of. they're great, committed, smart public servants, and I don't have to shake my finger at them at all. Each of them are very concerned about our image collectively as well as their personal image. Most of my conference is, well, you know, my conference is you know, it's a great mix. I've got a lot of brand new members who've come in, you know, with an understanding of the need for different, doing things differently and being outstanding. And I've got members who have been there for quite some time who are there because they have never, ever wavered in their commitment to serving their constituents. So, you know, I've got a great conference, and I'm not having to shake my fingers. What we're trying to do is really be leaders and make sure that we set a standard that you know, people can meet, and we are able to, again, move an agenda forward that benefits and reflects the best of New York.
Okay, so there will be some people who will roll their eyes, Senator Cousins, and they will say, oh, come on, you know, she's in the minority. They don't have the responsibility for passing legislation. So they'll embarrass the Republicans, who don't seem to be as active in reform as you are. And probably the Democrats in the Assembly will have problems with this very, very strong and very good platform. Am I wrong about that?
Well, you know, I mean, the reality is that we have been able over the past few years, even in the minority or having been put into a minority status, however you want to see it, the reality is we have been able to push forward an agenda. We have been able to, you know, create the direction of conversations in ways that they may not have gone. We've been able to do progressive things with the vast majority of our votes. We were able to pass marriage equality. We were able to pass, you know, the SAFE Act. The minimum wage was kind of dead in terms of raising it again, but our constant pounding and saying that the minimum wage that we've gone to is just too low for all the New Yorkers that we're trying to lift out of poverty, and that, again, appeared on the governor's agenda and in the budget. So the reality is that what we're doing is presenting, you know, just common sense ways to clean up Albany. And I believe that when our colleagues, even in the Republican side, you know, have an opportunity to vote on whether or not you're going to strip the pension of somebody who's been convicted of misusing the public trust, are they going to say, oh, no, 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 they should keep that pension? So the reality is that if you get these things on the floor, people, you know, I'm sure, would vote for common sense ethics reform that will restore the faith of the public in you know, our legislature and, frankly, in our government, because now, a lot of these things obviously apply to the governor as well.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. But I was recently talking to a Democratic assemblywoman who said she understood the objections to some of these things, one of which was, can you strip a convicted felon who comes out of the legislature of their pension? And she said, well, what about the family? So in other words, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to have very weak knees about going along with all of these wonderful proposals that you have.
You know, and I agree. There's a couple of ways you look at the family, and the family is expecting that you know, the person who is doing this job, I'm sure, is doing it in an honest you know, integrity-filled way. And hopefully, again, there won't be too many people, if any, you know, that will fall into this category prospectively. But I guess if you're going to enter into public service and find yourself in a, you know, fortunate enough to be given the public trust, if you know that if you, you know, abuse that trust, you're going to lose your pension, I guess it would be a deterrent.
I would think so.
I would think so.
So
I mean, the idea is that, again, you know, I don't know. I've been there, as you know, since 2007, and I came in with at the heels of the Brennan Center, where they were talking about how Albany was the most dysfunctional legislature in the country, and so on and so forth. And I think we've really come a far way in terms of trying to add some sunlight to a lot of the legislative packages. I'm not saying that we are where we need to be by any means, but certainly during the time, and we don't get enough credit for this, but, you know, during the time we were in the majority, we put a lot of sunlight into our committee meetings. We democratized the bill introductions and being able to pass things. I mean, we were able to do things that pushed us into a better category. And I think this is the same thing with ethics. You know, everybody may not be thrilled about some of these things, and you don't want people to feel that they're undercutting their ability to really, you know, be a public servant. But by the same token, there have been so many extreme cases that have gone on that I think people, if we want them to continue to be interested in government, to participate in elections, to be part of the conversation, you know, they have to feel that they can trust what's going on here.
So I wanted to ask you something. One of the things that you call for here is restricting legislators' outside income. I was fascinated, and I don't want to give you a ruin your day. But Jeff Klein, who formed a Senator Jeff Klein, who formed a separate breakaway group that has made, friends with the Republicans, has announced all of a sudden out of nowhere that he's giving up his law practice. Do you have any sense of why anybody would give up their law practice before he had to?
No, but you know, I think, again, the conversation has gotten so loud and so persistent that everybody who's hearing what the public is saying is trying to find ways to you know, again, restore the public trust. So if he feels that, for him, I think he's saying ban. I mean, there's all these different proposals because he's saying ban outside income completely. What we've said is that you have a 15% cap on the base pay currently, which is a little under $80,000, so the most you can make is $12,000 under the current construct. And the governor is saying, well, we don't ban it at all, but you must report every single thing and so on. So, I mean, I think that there are different grades and different proposals. I don't know. I don't believe that the Republicans have put forth any, and I think that's probably, you know, the bigger piece of this conversation.
Sure.
Because since they are the majority in our House, they are the ones who control the agenda. They are the ones who control what it is we vote on. And I think that this cacophony of voices internally and externally, I mean, the new speaker, Carl Hasty, has said he wants to clean up Albany, and he, too, is talking about banning outside income. So, I mean, I think that if we're really responsive as a legislature, we're going to find that place where the majority of us will agree and then present that to the public so that we can, you know, move forward.
And to what degree does Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney, sitting up there saying things like, you know, we're not through yet.
Stay tuned.
To what degree does that add impetus to doing the right thing?
Well, you know, he has a job to do, and he's made it pretty clear that he's serious about that job. So, you know, I think that, again, the majority of us are serious about doing our job. So I don't know, you know, what people are reacting to. I think that the thing that we have to react to is our public and our public persona and making sure that people understand that we are there, you know, with integrity and honest brokers. So, I mean, everybody has their role, and I think if we do our role, you know, his role will be less impactful.
So I want to ask you this, Senator, because I've always had asked this question. I've been around for a long time. I always say to people who are out of, you're in the minority. When you get into the majority, will you be talking the same way you are when you're in the minority?
I better be. Yeah. I think I'm hoping.
Because I do,
honestly.
But let me interrupt you and say, I think you're going to get in the majority real soon. In other words,
I love it.
No, I do. I think what's going to happen, Hillary is going to run for president. A lot of folks who didn't come out and vote the last time will come out and vote this time. A lot of people will start to win in your conference, and you'll be in the majority. That's my prediction.
I know. And you know what? I remind people also, in terms of Democrats in the chamber, I think we're only one seat away right now.
Yeah.
So there is a reality to what you're saying, but what I'm hoping, again, is that we are able to, as soon as possible, put together a legislative ethics package that will pass. Because, you know, I mean, for you to be asking me, will I be talking like this when I'm in the majority and you're presuming 2016, would be disappointing, because that would mean that for the fifth year in a row, we'd be introducing an ethics package. But you can do that
when you're in the minority. But when you're in the majority, and you've got to get everybody to go.
We should be passing it by. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be having this conversation in 2016 when we all know that this is an important issue. It has been an important issue with the current situation with the former speaker. And so, I mean, it just gets underscored every day.
Yeah, but you've got people. I'm sorry, but
we'll have another conversation in 2016.
But, Senator, you do have people in your conference who have law practices and who are making money on the outside. Are they going to be easy to, they say, herding cats? Are they going to be able to bring over the line when what they say it really counts?
Well, as I said, I've had a conversation with the majority of my members who understand that it is important to be accountable and transparent. And as I said, right now, how this is being managed, there's different iterations of, as I said, the governor in his budget comments, it's talking about full disclosure. We are certainly talking about full disclosure. And then again, there's people who want to ban, so on and so forth. So I think there has to be a consensus with the majority. And I believe the majority knows that we have to change the way we do business. It's not a partisan issue. I don't expect every single person on each side to do, you know, everything in lockstep. But I think, again, there are enough people who understand the opportunity we have to change the way Albany does business and the way we are perceived to get consensus as to how we will move forward.
Okay.
I do believe that.
Okay.
And, you know, I think it's important that we work towards that end.
Okay, so I want to go back to the four or five senators who some people call them traitors, some people call them, you know, outliers, whatever else, who set up this thing, and they went out and the governor.
In 2010, they did that.
And the governor came along and he said, I'm going to get them back with the regular Democrats where they belong. And they said, yes, we're going to do it, thinking you guys were going to be in the majority, but they got faked out. You weren't. And they stayed where they were. What kind of, how does somebody say you're going to go back with the Democrats and then stay with the Republicans and get paid off with some chairmanships and maybe some extra money? Do you have anything critical to say about them?
Well, you know, I had said what I said when I first heard it. I was sorry because, you know, it's always been my desire that the Democrats come together and work together as Democrats in the chamber. And there were so many things that Senator Skelos had said. He wasn't interested in raising the minimum wage. He's not interested in criminal justice reform. He's not interested in the full Women's Equality Act, so on and so forth. So, I mean, I was hoping that those types of proclamations would dissuade my colleagues from continuing this relationship on that level. But, you know, the reality is, as I said to Senator Klein, that there were things that we will agree on, and I want to be able to work together to, you know, push forward the agendas that we agree on in the hopes that, at, you know, we will be able to work together as a conference. I have often said that part of the disenfranchisement in terms of voters can happen, you know, once the vote is taken and, you know, something like people thinking you're voting for a person of a certain party and having that expectation that then those people would work with that party. And I think when you don't do that, you kind of disenfranchise voters in another way. So I want us all to work together. I've said this to Senator Klein. I am hoping, again, that, say, something like this with campaign finance reform, where he's obviously ready to give up his law practice and not take outside income and so on and so forth, you know, he's once again at least doing the things that we in the Democratic, you know, conference have talked about, which is kind of different from what the Republicans are doing. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to work together
later. Now, I've only got 2 minutes, and okay. I wanted to ask you really quickly, is the governor behaving himself with you, or do you question? I mean, he said in the very beginning he was going to veto any self-serving reapportionment bill where his friends in the Republican Senate were able to draw their own districts, and he didn't do it. So he's got this big program now, but do you believe him?
You know, I think everybody...
That wasn't very convincing, that, yeah.
No, I was listening to your question, and yes, I do. I think that, again, what do we say? We've all evolved. He's had his first term as governor, and I think some of the realities of where we are and some of the criticisms and concerns and missed opportunities and opportunities taken. I mean, you know, there's been some good things, obviously, that has happened with the governor. And I think he wants to make sure that his legacy is one that, on balance, you know, reflects, you know, his values and the best for New Yorkers. And so I'm really, you know, looking forward to continuing to work with him in order to make sure that that indeed is all of our legacy.
Well, you know, I hope you're right. That's all, yeah. I got to say, because we did see the Moreland Act. We did see the reapportionment thing. You know, there's got to be a certain amount of credibility in order to take him seriously when he says, these are all the things I want to do to make the legislature, you know, everybody in the legislature behave. Because you're right about one thing, and that is that it doesn't do justice to the good people in the legislature when one or two people do bad stuff. So
that's it. And you know what? I think the public has an opportunity to make sure to weigh in on this as well. And that's why, you know, their continued involvement through mediums like your show and so on and so forth makes at least people aware of what some of the issues are and helps people to really get what they need in order to do the right thing. So I really appreciate, you know, what you do and the influence that you've had over the years on some of these issues.
Well, you're doing the right thing here. I'll say I'm very happy about this package. We are out of time. Our guest has been New York State Senator and Democratic Conference Leader Andrea Stewart Cousins. Senator, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. I know how busy you are.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. And stay warm.
We'll try. Thanks again.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.